A pleasant good morning to everyone, and especially to our mothers here. This is a day where we, as a nation, take time to celebrate the women who have been so important in our lives and brought us into this world. It is something that God has blessed us with, and this is a day for us to just sit back and reflect for a moment. And to those of you ladies who have been mothers, whether you are raising children now or you have in the past, thank you for what you've done. I think all of us can say that when we've done well in life, it is first and foremost by God's grace, but perhaps second of all due to the good influence of our moms. And if we've messed up in life, it is because we didn't listen to God and we didn't listen to our moms. So for you ladies who are mothers, those of you who will be mothers at some point in the future, thank you for what you do. You have an indispensable task. And never doubt the influence that you can still have as you raise your children, have influence upon them. So thank you very much for what you do, and may God bless you. As Brock said earlier, we're going to continue our series this morning on In Christ Alone. We've been looking this year about the significance of simply having Christ. There are times that in our lives we get so crowded with other things. We get crowded with our own wisdom and our own knowledge. We get crowded by our own accomplishments. And we begin to think that it's Christ plus other things that gets us into heaven. And Scripture makes it very clear that at the end of the day, it is only Christ. It is Christ alone. That doesn't mean that we're not supposed to do something in our service to the Lord, but it does mean that despite everything that we do, as good as it may be, ultimately we must understand that Christ is our all and all. So last month we talked about salvation in Christ alone. We looked at Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 6, how Adam brought sin in the world, and Christ in many ways was the un-Adam or the anti-Adam. As Adam brought sin into the world, Christ brought salvation into the world, and those who follow sin follow Adam, but those who follow Christ are those who turn away from sin. And in Romans chapter 6, we are baptized into Christ and brought into his body. But that's not the end of the journey. In fact, in a lot of ways, it's the very beginning of the journey, because we are brought into Christ so that we can live for Christ, and we are brought into Christ so that we can reflect him to the world. Right? So it's not this idea that, oh, I've been baptized, and now it's all over, now just coast. No, the real work begins when we are brought into Christ. That's our role. So when you start looking at your life, the Bible makes it clear that when you come to Christ, it means that not only do you come to Christ and you establish that vertical relationship, but you also establish a horizontal relationship with the church, right? The church is an important part of God's plan. There are a lot of metaphors for the church in Scripture. Metaphors oftentimes we have a hard time relating to. The church is a kingdom. Right? How many of us are part of a kingdom? I mean, here on earth. I understand conceptually that idea, but experientially, no. The body is a flock. I mean, the church is a flock. Well, I've seen flocks, okay? We've all seen flocks, but we're not shepherds, you know? So we have a hard time really relating to that one. The church is a vineyard, okay? Well, we understand what a vineyard is, right? But we haven't experienced that. And then there are other metaphors that we have experienced and we can relate to a little bit more. The church is a family. Well, we have families and we can begin to identify with that one. But some people don't have families. Some people have no one to call mom or dad or aunt or uncle. And then the Bible also calls the church the bride. Well, again, I understand what that's like. I'm married to a woman who's my wife. So I understand that idea, but I'm not a woman, and about half of you are not women here, and those of you who are women, you may not be married yet, and so again, we can't experience that one. But there is one metaphor that all of us instantly can begin to identify with, and that is that the church is a body. This is a metaphor that Paul uses oftentimes, the text that Gerald read just a few moments ago, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It speaks of the church being a body and how every member of the body has a part. That's his emphasis there. He does the same thing in Romans chapter 12 where he speaks of the body and everyone having different parts. Paul changes that metaphor a little bit in Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll deal with this as we go on, verse 22, and then Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, where he speaks of Christ being the head of the body.
In the other passages, it was this body and everyone's related to one another equally. But Paul takes this idea and develops it more in the two passages I just cited and speaks of Christ being the head. So this idea of the child of God coming to the body of Christ is a really, really important one. There are two major ideas that you and I need to understand when we talk about this idea of the child of God belonging to the body of Christ alone. The first idea is the one we're going to explore this morning. The second idea is the one we'll explore next week. The first idea is that we have a relationship with our head. And it's a crucial relationship. And the second idea that we'll explore next week is that we have a relationship with one another. Two different ideas, both crucial, both very important. Let's talk about the first one this morning. As we talk about the idea of belonging to the body in Christ alone, the first thing I want us to understand is every Christian is a part of the body. No one who comes to Christ is outside of the body. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, if you will, verse 47. In Acts chapter 2, we find the church being established. In verse 38, we find the question given in verse 37 to Peter when the Jews asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In verse 38, we find this. Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." All right. And what happens then? Verse 47. We find the church developing, growing, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So we find the church being established, and we have people who, when they come and they're baptized, they are added to the church. Right? We find in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, Paul speaks of the fact that we are baptized into Christ. And if you open back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, I think, really drives home this idea that the church and the body of Christ are the same thing. Again, verse 12. "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Here's the body idea. "But by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit." Now he says we're baptized into this. We're baptized into the Lord's body. We are baptized into the church. There's an equality of those two ideas. So when we come to Christ, we are part of the body of Christ. We have a role there that is an important one. Now, what's to be taken from this idea of the church being a body? Well, if you think about our own bodies, our body is like this one being here, but it's filled with all these different parts that are doing a number of different things. They are all useful. They are all playing a role in the furthering of that body. And all of these parts are guided and purposed by the head. The brain is the computer that runs the whole body. So we understand that. If we understand that, then we can begin to understand that what the church is, the body of Christ, is it is a collection of God's people who are brought together and they function as one with one another, and they are all guided by the head. And that head is Jesus Christ. We'll explore that more in just a few moments. There is found within this idea of an interconnectivity that we have with one another and with Christ, and an interdependence. We understand when it comes to the body, right? If I pulled my kidney out, that's something interesting to see, but if my kidney was pulled out of my body and just set over to the side and left at room temperature for a day, that kidney is not going to go back in me anymore. It is not made to function by itself. This idea that some people have that I'm going to come to Christ and I'm going to be sort of like this rogue agent, that I'm going to do my own thing because organized religion isn't really my thing and I don't really get along well with other people, so I'll just sort of be off on my own. It's like that kidney hanging out outside of my body. It's not going to work. We need one another, and we need what we gain from the head that comes to us. We cannot function without that. Now, there are two aspects of this body. There is one, what we will call the universal aspect. In other words, the body of Christ is made up of all Christians, everywhere, at all times. Every Christian who's ever lived has entered into this universal body. And we are all connected to one another, though we sometimes may not know one another. About 8 years ago, Teresa and I went to California for our anniversary. Just decided to go someplace we would never go ordinarily, so we went there.
Sunday, we worshiped with a group of Christians, the Sunnyvale congregation. We didn't know anyone there. Wyatt recommended them. So we went there.
And I didn't flash my preacher card or anything, you know. We just went there and worshiped with everyone. And after services, some people were talking to us, and they said, well, we're going to eat. Do you want to go with us? So we went with them, had a great time. And then they asked what I did, and then I told them I was a preacher, and so that was all well and good. But then that night, two of the elders, they were getting together at one of the elders' house, and they invited Teresa and me to go over there with them. We spent about 3 hours with these people. We didn't know these people. Never met these people before. But it's amazing how it seemed like we knew them. And if you've visited to other congregations before, and you've gone on in and acted the way you should, and they've acted the way you should, you've had similar experiences. Teresa and I have remarked just how often you go places, even when I'm not going there to preach, but you go among the Lord's people, and you feel at home. And you feel like you're part of a larger family. Even if you never see those people again, that's part of the universal connection that we have with one another. But there's another connection that we have with one another, and that's a local connection. Because though I interacted with those brethren in California, I don't interact with them now. I don't have any problem with them. They're great. But it's you I interact with. And you interact with me. It is here at Douglas Hills that we associate with one another, that we work with one another, that we bring our skills and our talents to the body and contribute our usefulness. So that local aspect where we come in there and we identify Romans chapter 9 verse 26, where Paul sought to join the church in Jerusalem. He wanted to be active there. That's what we do when we're part of the body of Christ. That's what you do, what you and I need. What we see then is that it means something to be part of the body of Christ. It's important. Look, there are a lot of things you can do and a lot of activities that you can be a part of. There are a lot of organizations that you can be a part of that are wonderful. You can be a part of sports teams and enjoy all those things. That is great. But listen, nothing compares to your role in the body of Christ. There is nothing that you can accomplish in this life that will be of greater value and greater service than what you do when you bring yourself to the body of Christ and you are useful to the body of Christ. You do something there that is not temporary. You do something there that is eternal. You do something there that God purposes you to do. God does not purpose you to play sports. I'm not knocking the idea of playing sports. That's wonderful. That is not your purpose. God did not purpose you to be a part of some civic organization. Be a part of that. That's fine. God purposed you when you come to Him to be a part of His body. That's the first thing you and I need to understand. If you have come to Christ, you are part of that body. You have a role. The second thing is this. You and I must submit to Jesus Christ as our head. Two passages stand out. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And then in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, He is the head of the church, of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. These two passages clearly identify that while there is this body, and all of us are part of this body clearly has a head. And this head is Jesus Christ. Now, what do we learn from this head analogy that's given here? Two things stand out. First of all, that as the head of the church, Jesus is the source. He's the source. Open your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Jesus conveys the same idea here in this text, except He uses the idea of the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Right? Same idea. Jesus is telling us our ability to accomplish anything in life, to be wise, to use good judgment, to just live in a way that pleases Him, all comes from Him. It's not based upon us. He is the source. And the second idea that's found within this idea of Christ being the head is that He is in the position of power and He is in the position of leadership. And we'll underscore this. He is not simply in a position of power and leadership. He is in the position of absolute power. Absolute. Now, we're afraid of this idea. We're afraid of anyone having absolute power. Scripture really comforts us by letting us know that Christ is in the position of absolute power. We have no power, beloved, in the church. Zero. We think, well, you know, this is America. You know, in America, you know, I have a say-so and I ought to be able to say what I want. Well, you can say what you want within reason, but that really doesn't mean a lot. The one who guides the church, who dictates what is to be done and how it is to be done, is Christ. Well, you know, I don't know if I like this or not. So what? Okay. So what? I don't like this teaching that, you know, the Bible says, so what? It really doesn't matter what you think or what you like or dislike. If you're part of the body, Christ is the head. And that means no one can stand in the place of the head today. No man or woman can stand up and say, I will be the head of the church, even a local church. Not the elders, certainly not the preacher. And there's not a man in Rome who stands over the head of the church. God has not given that right to them. It belongs solely to Christ. Christ is the one who guides, He's the one who leads, He's the one who tells us what to do. Not a man. Even the apostles, do you realize this? Even the apostles, when they were here, they were not the head of the church. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, we are told that they're the foundation of the church. But that Christ is the chief cornerstone, and from Christ emanates all authority. They were the foundation of the church in that they taught, but not because they were the head. You say, well, what about Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus tells Peter that He gave Peter the keys of the church? By the way, in Matthew chapter 18, that's Matthew 16, Matthew chapter 18, He gave that to all the apostles. All of them had the keys. And that's simply a statement talking about the wonder of Peter's faith. He wasn't saying Peter is going to be the head of the church. No man is the head. Scripture clearly says, right? Who's the head? It's Christ. And Christ alone. No one else comes along. And it's only in Christ that we find our completeness. That's a big thing people are looking for today, right? I want to find my purpose. I want to find who I'm supposed to be. And I want to find my meaning in life. And there are just so many people that are just wandering around, climbing mountains and all these things. And that's, you know, it's fine to climb a mountain if you want to. But you're not going to find your meaning there. You're not going to find your completeness there. There's something within us that longs for that sense of completeness. And it's only found in Christ. Again, the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Paul wrote, for in Him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And what that means is, in Christ alone, you find the completeness of what it means to be God. But he said, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. The word fullness and the word complete in the Greek is the same word. So Christ is the fullness of God. And Christ makes us full. That's the message there. Christ is, we are made. The only way you and I will ever find a sense of completeness in life is when we come to Christ. And we're part of His body and we submit to Him. And that's why you see a lot of Christians. Let me just be honestly here. You see a lot of Christians, people who have been baptized into Christ, but they are constantly in angst. They are constantly just roiling in their life. And may I suggest that one of the reasons that's going on, at least on an ongoing basis, temporarily things happen, But when that's a steady part of your life, you're not finding your completeness in Christ. And that's what Christ is there for. It is only when we come to Christ that we find the completeness of a relationship with God, God the Father, that we're missing otherwise. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Open your Bibles there. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That fellowship established first with God the Father, then with one another. But in that fellowship, we have the forgiveness of sins. Beloved, that is an incredible blessing. And when I start getting upset with something going on in life, just like all of you, one of the first things I have to remind myself of is, I've been forgiven by God. You need to remember that too. You need to remind yourself on a regular basis. I know it doesn't make everything just sort of fall into place, but it's a mental exercise you and I need to go through to begin to put everything in order. That in Christ we find a completeness in the fact that we have a relationship with God now. Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I can't even begin to comprehend what that is, but I'll tell you, it's going to be great. It's going to be worth far more than anything else we go through here. Your worst day that you can remember right now, in 1,000 years, you won't be thinking about that day. Doesn't matter how bad it is. And I'm not belittling bad things and what happens to us sometimes in this life. There are some bad things, really horrible things that happen. Horrible things have happened to some of you. I'm not belittling that. I'm just saying that we put it in perspective. We're not going to be thinking about it. Why? Because in 1,000 years, we're going to have every spiritual blessing. And even in His life, Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that God has blessed us with everything that pertains to life and godliness. What more do we need? Really, what more? And what does that mean? It means we're complete. If you never accomplish anything in this life, that when you're young, you're just, I want to do this. If you never accomplish that, if you never hit all the items on your bucket list, if you've got a bucket list, you're still complete in Christ. You're still complete when you're part of His body. And we need to live as people who are like that every day of our life. So Christ gives us these instructions and He guides us. You say, well, how does He guide us? So many people, they say, well, I want to know what the Lord's will is for my life. I want to know what Jesus wants for me. As if it's this sort of ethereal, sort of floaty, cottony, spongy thing that's just sort of out there somewhere. And you may find it, you may not. And if it happens, it's going to happen to you when you're like, you know, waking up from sleep and suddenly you know because now you've got this message. It's not like that at all. It's much more fixed than that. Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be, listen to this, complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How does Christ direct you today? He directs you in the same way He directs me. Now, I'm not saying here that He doesn't providentially open up doors differently for you than He does for me as He seeks to take our skills and use them and place them in the body as He sees fit. But as far as His guidance goes, beloved, His guidance is right here. That's it. You want to receive instructions from your head. This is how they come to you. And if you and I are not taking advantage of this book, guess what we're not getting? We're not getting those instructions that are given to the parts of the body so that they can function. Is it any small wonder then that some Christians just feel like they're lost within the body? They have no usefulness. They're not interested in being part of the body. A lot of it probably goes back to the fact that we're not taking advantage of this book and studying this book the way that we should. Not just so we can check something off our daily list of things that we accomplish, but so that we can receive instruction from our head as to how to live. All right, so that's all theory. All right. That's all the teaching. Let's close by just very quickly asking ourselves, what does this mean to us? And if you've been listening, you will get all of these things, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. But I just want to give you four things I want to tick off. Four things that being part of the body of Christ and submitting to Christ, what these things ought to do to me. And the first is this. When you become a Christian, you accept the charge to be directed by Christ alone. You may not fulfill that charge perfectly. But when you come to Christ, we must come to Him confessing that He will be our Lord. And Lord means He's the one who guides me. This is not a situation where it's like 50-50. You know, I've got most of the control in my life, and I'll give Christ a little bit, so let's make it 55, 35, 45. There's my math skills. 60 to 40. It's not like that. You come to Christ when you were baptized, you were saying, and if you weren't saying, you need to reevaluate where you are spiritually. You are saying, Christ is my Lord. He's 100%. There's no room for you and there's no room for me. We are here to serve. We find our value in Christ, all of Christ. And the second idea flows from that one, and that is we cannot serve Him on our terms. Your kidneys or your liver or your lung. Let's say your lung doesn't say one day, you know, I don't feel like working today. You know, check with me tomorrow and maybe I'll be useful then. If that happens, you've got some serious problems. Your lungs function all the time. Your kidneys function all the time. Everything in your body is supposed to function all the time. And if it doesn't, again, there's a problem. When we come to Christ, we are submitting ourselves and we're saying it's all about you. What I think, what I want, that's no longer an issue. And I know that's a constant struggle, right? We understand that, but living, it's a different thing altogether. But at least if you understand it, that's a victory right there. Take that and run with it. Okay? Because that'll dictate your life. Okay? But when we come to Christ, it's not about what we want. And beloved, I think sometimes we miss that. I don't want to go to services today. I don't want to go worship God today. Well, are you part of the body or not? That should have been decided when you became a Christian. The fact that you don't feel like it, that really is not part of the equation anymore. I think that I can go online and I can look at whatever I want to, as much as I want to, and I'll still be a Christian. No, you won't be. You may be a Christian, you are not a faithful child of God. If Christ is your head, you will rein in what you want to do to please Him. I want to wear anything I want to wear. Brother Paul mentioned that last Sunday evening, that we need to be thinking about our clothing on a regular basis, and that'll be a sermon coming up in the near future. Well, no, you can't wear anything you want to wear. Not if Christ is your Lord. You've got to be thinking about, does what I have on glorify Him? And I know a lot of people aren't going to think about that. You're part of the body. You and I ought to be different. So that's the second thing. We cannot serve Him on our own terms. Positively, though, number three, we are guided. And we do have instruction. Have you ever had a boss that didn't tell you what they expected out of you? Have you ever had a boss that when you came and sought guidance, they said, oh, just, I'm not sure what you need to do. Isn't that frustrating? Isn't it nice when you have someone who lays down for you exactly what is expected out of you? Look, beloved, on the judgment day, God's not going to come up and say, oh, I've got another chapter that I didn't give you that is on the final quiz. Alina right now, she's going through her final exams and she's fussing sometimes about stuff that a teacher tests her on and they didn't go over to class, you know. That's not going to happen on the judgment day. Everything that we're going to be judged by is right here. So if you're trying to figure out how do I live to glorify God, it's in here, okay? It's not complicated. It's right here. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? I know this is a thick book sometimes, but in the course of our life, you can read this. And you can know it. And you can apply it to your life. That's the great news. The head instructs us and He guides us. And the final thing, and we'll begin to wrap everything up with this, we must remain free from infections so that we can be useful to the head.
If your appendix becomes infected, that's going to be a problem for the body.
If your tonsils, and what do? They go in there and they cut them out. You don't want to be cut out.
Sin infects us. And I know sin works its way into our lives on a regular basis. We have got to be aware of sin in our lives, because if sin takes us over, beloved, we're not going to be useful to the body. You won't be. Go back to John chapter 15, where Jesus talked about the vine and the branches. Notice two verses, verse 2 and then verse 6. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he what? He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they're burned.
Don't let that happen to you. If you're a child of God, if you've been baptized for the remission of your sins, you are part of the body of Christ. Acknowledge that, but also understand you've got to submit to Jesus Christ. If you do not, and you and I allow sin in our lives to take us over, we will be cast out. So don't let that happen. So that's the first idea. That when we come and we belong to Christ alone, we must look to Him as our guide. That's everything that it means to be in the body of Christ. The second idea is going to explore the idea of our relationship one with another and what we owe one another. And we're going to go back to Nehemiah next week for that. Nehemiah chapter 3, as we've been looking at the idea of rebuilding, we're going to look at rebuilding requires others. Chapter 3, everyone would work together with one another, becomes a wonderful model for the church today and for our lives with one another. So I hope you'll look forward to that. Let's close with this. So who is Christ to you? For those of you who are not Christians, He is not your Lord yet. He stands as Lord, but you've not acknowledged Him. Acknowledge Him today. Come to Him and seek His guidance. You acknowledge Him by being baptized into Christ based upon your faith and based upon your commitment. Are you ready to do that this morning? The water is ready, and if you're ready to make that commitment, we would love to help you. But perhaps more importantly to those of us who are Christians, and that probably includes the vast majority of people here, as we sing this song in just a moment, can we evaluate ourselves and ask ourselves, am I really submitting to Christ as my head? I mean, in my daily life. If you struggle with that, but you want to do that, that's okay. Seek help from someone else. All of us are weak at times, and all of us struggle. But if you're living your life right now and you're saying, I'm going to do what I want to do, you're not pleasing to the Lord. You need to change that before it's too late. So as we're about to stand with one another and sing with one another, if you need to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we invite you to come now.